So glad that you are with us. More on the Giannis situation. What are they talking about right now? How likely is he to stay in Milwaukee or go somewhere else? Telly Hughes joins us coming up in about 5 minutes to talk through that story. First, another very interesting story. A Milwaukee teen to face adult court in 7-year-old kidnapping case. Tori Lowe, 101.7 The Truth, is with us in the studio. Tori, I know you talked about this on the show. Good to have you here. Thanks
for
being
here. How y'all doing? Thank y'all for having me as usual.
So this is a strange story. A 14-year-old boy charges an adult in connection with the kidnapping of a 7-year-old boy at gunpoint. What do we know about this story?
This is a huge story over the summer. Jamal White was kidnapped. Yeah. We had video. They had video of this. This was a huge thing that went viral on social media. But prosecutors charged Barry Coleman, 14 years old, with multiple counts, including kidnapping and possession of a dangerous weapon as a minor. This is interesting because I thought it was an older gentleman involved.
Me too.
As well.
There were three people involved.
Right. Well, they're saying that this 14-year-old mastermind.
Right.
This whole situation. This is what makes it so ridiculous. So you got a young 14-year-old being waived to adult court now over a situation of a kidnapping. And I just wonder, it makes me scratch my head, how do you, as an adult or as an older adult, older than 14, allowed this to happen?
It was an exchange for $100,000 in cash and jewelry. And I don't know how a 14-year-old could have that kind of brain.
That's what I'm saying. It's just another level that we may be missing here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you see things that happen with kidnapping and people trying to get money, and they said that the mother was involved in illegal activity, or allegedly she was a drug dealer. But what I'm saying is now you have this young 14-year-old that is now being charged with the masterminding of this kidnapping. And I'll say this, is something that when you look at the system and when you look at all of the things that we see recently, there was a 12-year-old girl in the news that with her 4-year-old brother that had a warrant for her arrest for battery to a police officer.
Right.
And so what is going on with these young people?
I mean, this is a crazy story. So originally they alleged that the 14-year-old was going to rob the mother.
Right.
And then he changed his mind. He said, instead, let's grab the boy. And so they grab him. They get in a car. I think he was gone overnight, wasn't
right.
he?
And what happened was they went after, I think the father ran in the house.
Yeah, he sprinted in the house.
He ran in the house. So the little boy was out riding a big wheel or bike or something, and they just grabbed him.
How does the dad, the video went viral everywhere.
Right.
You can see the dad running in the house as he's being chased, and he left his boy out
left
there.
Left his son out there.
Good luck, son.
Come on.
Good luck, son. I'm going in the house.
It triggered an Amber Alert.
This was one of the stories that spread it, I'm talking about, all over the country.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, what's going on in Milwaukee when you have this kind of behavior with a 14-year-old and as recent as the 12-year-old girl, all involved in kidnapping ideas, just kind of wild kind of lifetime type stories going on in the city of Milwaukee.
So you're connected to this community. What is going on in our community?
I think there's a lot of neglect going on underneath. Today we talked about the lead poisoning that was going on with the paint. Now, you know, I fought for many years to bring attention to the lead laterals. And when I was doing that, I heard, oh, we got the paint under control. We have remediation programs, weatherization programs. But now I look up and I see today that thousands of children are being negatively affected by lead paint still.
Right, the testing.
In 2025.
Yeah, and so your point is that maybe some of this is... Maybe.
Just
maybe.
It's too ridiculous to believe that somebody would actually, in a right mind, do something like this.
It's a crazy story.
Could be lead poison.
Could be. It's fascinating talk. It's Tori Lowe, 101.7 The Truth, 1 to 4 every single day. Tori, we appreciate you when you make some time for us.
Hey, look, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It is 4:13 at WTMJ. One of the stories everybody's talking about is Giannis. What is going on with Giannis? It appears that talks are happening right now between Giannis's reps in the middle of the season and the Bucks about his future. We will sort through it with Telly Hughes up next. Sources say that Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks are discussing his future right now. His agent, according to ESPN, is meeting with the Bucks brass, trying to decide, quote, whether the best fit is staying or moving elsewhere. A resolution to the talks is expected in the coming weeks. Good Karma Brand's Telly Hughes, Emmy award-winning journalist, is with us with some perspective this afternoon. Telly, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
No problem, John. And I know this story all too well because, believe it or not, I was with the Bucks. I was the sideline reporter the year that Giannis was drafted. So to see where Giannis came from, to see where we are today is simply just astonishing to me.
As I talk upstairs to people before we came down to do the show and we share space with ESPN, the overwhelming emotion seems to be sadness and a realization that there is a good chance that Giannis won't be here for the long term. What is your reaction as you digest this, Telly?
I know PR talk, and I spent 10 years in the NBA and seeing the inner workings of how it goes. And to me, this is something that pretty much was going to play out if the Bucks did not get off to a good start. Meaning, I'm sure that John Horst and Doc Rivers made Giannis some promises that they haven't been able to fulfill. And if Giannis was on the fence about continuing to be in Milwaukee during the offseason or looking elsewhere, he was probably persuaded to come back, and these are the things we're going to do. We're going to put championship pieces around you. And if you have listened to Giannis from day one, his main goal is winning championships. And at this point, his loyalty is leaning more towards winning championships than the Milwaukee Bucks. And you look at this year's roster and the way that they've been playing and how much they've been losing, and they have been at full strength pretty much for the most part. Kevin Porter Jr. is the only one that has been missing for most of the season. And you are at full strength and you look around and you still can't get wins. This is not the championship vision that Giannis had going into this season. And I think that it's kind of like, okay, maybe we can start looking elsewhere if I'm still trying to win championships, because I don't feel like it's going to happen here. And this is really bad throughout the locker room, because if your leader doesn't think he has the pieces to win a championship here, what's that saying about me? That's saying that, okay, he doesn't have confidence in me that I can help him win a championship. So this reverberates throughout the locker room in such tremendous ways.
Wow, so disappointing. Telly, can you take us through, if Giannis is traded to the Knicks, what would that look like? How, step by step, how would that happen?
If you need a model of how a superstar is traded, you could just go back to Carmelo Anthony when he was traded from Denver to the New York Knicks. And it was the biggest trade at that time in NBA history. It involved between 14 and 16 players, and it was three teams involved. And so that is what you're hearing today, are Giannis's representatives meeting with the Bucks brass. These are the things that they are trying to discuss. What would be the best case scenario for both parties? And if the Knicks are able to come up with a package to land them there, so be it. But a lot of times, and especially when you're talking about the Knicks and their payroll already, there may have to be a third team involved in order for that to happen.
Telly, we all heard the rumors that the Knicks were talking to the Bucks before the season started, but today ESPN insider Brian Windhorst is reporting that Giannis requested a trade to the Knicks before the season started. Now, that's one guy reporting it, but you know Windhorst. He's a respected NBA insider. He says that the Giannis camp asked for the trade and that the Bucks basically worked on it for 2 weeks with the Knicks, couldn't work it out. We're able to talk Giannis off the ledge, which you alluded to earlier, and bring him back. That really makes me sad if Giannis actually proactively asked for the trade before the season started. Does that part surprise you?
So-so, because he's always had an affinity for New York, and I was there in the early days when Giannis was just starting to become Giannis. And after the Bucks would play the Knicks, there would be at least 1,500 Greek fans of Giannis in New York. They've always shown him so much love. So that part doesn't surprise me, because that's the part that a lot of fans, don't get to see, that I got a chance to see and see it live. Like, Giannis would come out, and again, there at least be 1,500, Greek Knicks / Giannis fans, and they would sing the Greek national anthem, and they would like party. And I mean, it was so festive. That meant everything to him. You thought Hugh Jackman was a big deal at Cops yesterday. When Giannis would go to Madison Square Garden, that's how big of a deal it is for, his fellow Greek fans. So that part doesn't surprise me. And for Giannis, I know he wants to be in a championship situation. And so the Knicks, they're not that far away, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And so Giannis is staying true to something he has always said, and that is he wants to win championships. And the part that Bucks fans don't want to hear is the fact that that may not happen in Milwaukee.
Oh, I fear you're right about that, but that could be the reality that we're dealing with. He's Emmy award-winning journalist Telly Hughes. Always great stuff. Telly, thank you so much.
No problem. Have a great show, guys.
Ann Sayers is sponsored by TravelWisconsin.com. Ann is the travel secretary. Good afternoon, Ann. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good afternoon.
What a fun topic this is. Unexpected eateries. What are we talking about here?
Traveling by fork, my favorite way to travel.
We can savor like some home-style cooking in the house-based restaurants.
Yes, a couple great ideas for you in the home-style cooking department. You can travel the state to see historic homes transformed into exceptional dining spots, starting with a journey to Dane County for fine dining at the Stone House at Quivy's Grove. So pretty. It's an Italianate-style mansion in Fitchburg. It's a historic home dating all the way back to 1855. And Quivy's Grove has awesome, authentic food and decor. You'll savor excellently prepared dishes in an unforgettable setting. All the baking and cooking are done right there from scratch, and the meals are an ode to recipes from the 19th century and the individuals who lived in the area at the time. Or you could head up to Bayfield County for literal home cooking at Good Time. That's T-H-Y-M-E. Got it? Good Time in Washburn. You can look for the big yellow house. You'll know that you've arrived when you see it. Step inside. There's a big grand fireplace, warm tones of dark chocolate and copper throughout that what used to be the formal living space of the home. Good Time proudly takes an artisan approach to food. Enjoy appetizers like crab cakes and entrees like the African peanut stew. I've had it. Amazing. And Gao Chu Zhang pork tenderloin.
Oh, you're very bilingual, Anne. That was well done. I like
Thank
it.
You.
All right. You can dine in creatively in repurposed places. This is such a cool idea.
Yeah, so restaurateurs set up shop in unexpected, quirky spots and help breathe new life into those repurposed places. One of them is in Stevens Point, where you can dine inside a refurbished train car. It's called the Silver Coach. The restaurant and bar are converted from a railroad sleeper car that's over 120 years old. Distinctive, original details, stained glass and carved wood panels add an extra layer of ambiance to the experience. You can browse a full menu of iconic fine dining dishes and meals inspired by the flavors of New Orleans. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Another really cool and different opportunity is in the Fox Cities. You can step into a bank-turned brew pub with a visit to Vault 202. They recently opened, and it's a brewery occupying the former First National Bank, and it preserves elements of the old bank. You can actually head down to the basement to see the massive vault door. And for food, Vault 202 serves up tasty brick oven pizzas, oven fried wings, salads, and shareables.
And there's also tucked away establishments.
Yeah, this is fun. You can kind of experience a feeling of discovery by visiting some tucked away kind of restaurants. In Manitowoc, you can make a plan to dine at the Waterfront Wine Bar. The restaurant is located below street level alongside the riverfront. So walking past, you may not even notice it was there, but it's so worth the visit. You descend the stairs, for curated wine tastings and a food menu inspired by global cuisine. Maybe start off with an appetizer like the salted caramel cheese curd. Oh my gosh, I have to try this. And then follow up with a salad, sandwich, burger, entree, such as popular pad thai. Another one, you can dine locally by visiting Milwaukee's best kept secret since 1966. The Safe House Milwaukee, yes. Of course. Yes, they welcome would-be secret agents. You can enter the false storefront. You have to provide a password and then step through the hidden bookcase into a world of fantasy. The space is filled with replica and real artifacts of espionage history, including an actual chunk of the Berlin Wall.
Cool.
And the menu has all these fun fan favorite dishes with cleverly named themes. There's the brisket banh mi. There's a pulled pork provocateur. Got to try it.
It's so fun. All right, Anne, are you a cook?
No.
Is your husband a cook, or do you guys eat out?
I won because he's a really good cook.
Oh, you did win. That's outstanding. You don't need to be a cook if he's a good cook.
Yeah, I think I just don't because nobody wants to eat but I cook, including me. So here we are.
I would give it a shot. I thought maybe for a second there that Unexpected Eateries was going to include the Ann Sayers household, but I guess not.
No, but I'll meet you anywhere out.
I'd like that. For more information on your winter getaway, check out travelwisconsin.com. Anne, thank you so much.
Yep, take care, everyone.
Presented by Huracan Bank, it's time for the Milwaukee Economy Briefing, where we dive into the latest trends and insights shaping our city's business landscape. To help explain the trends and the news is MMAC President Dale Coinga on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
You know what today is, Julia?
Trivia Day.
It is trivia for us, but equally as important, it is the world debut, the acting debut of Dale Coinga in The Christmas Carol at the Rep. He's also about to set a world record as the tallest actor ever to grace the stage.
I know, usually with cameo appearances, people just blend in, but at 6'7", it's going to be like, who is that tall, fine English gentleman in the garb?
Are you going to do an accent or anything?
No, it's cameo, so I don't talk. They said, can you sing Joy to the World?
What?
I'm like, I've been going to church for 46 years. I think I could sing Joy to the World. And there's another part where I'm out there and I got to hum Silent Night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do they have garb tall enough
they
for
get
you?
Me. Oh, but, yeah. Well, but, they fitted me. I went there and they figured it all out.
Wow.
The other person doing a cameo, not tonight, but another night, is Mayor Cavalier Johnson. And he's the other spectrum of the... Yes.
Really,
we're not
funny.
Sharing the same wardrobe here.
Are you speak in the public all the time? You're in front of people all the time. How are you feeling about tonight? Are you nervous? You excited?
No, this is just fun. This is just many of the times in my life where someone took a picture or a small video, and 18-year-old Dale had to be like, "What's going on?" I'd be like, "I have no idea what's going on. Why am I in a production of professional? How does this happen?" But it's all cool. It's great.
Will your family be there at all?
You know, they were gonna be there. And then they have three of the girls have volleyball practice, and then Grant has basketball practice. And so I think Jennifer's going to try to make it. So we'll see.
You always say how tall your boy is, but how tall are your daughters?
Well, Taylor is a sophomore. She's about 5'9"-ish. And then my eighth grader and sixth grader, Quinn and Ada, they're tall. I think they're like 5'10 right now.
Wow.
5'10. And Ada's growing.
And they're still growing, the younger ones probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think 5'10, 5'11-ish. I don't think they'll pass 6 feet.
How tall is Grant?
Which they really want to be because they're all volleyball players.
Yeah.
So like, I want to be tall. I want to be tall. So I was like, get to bed. Listen to your mom. That'll make you tall. That's
right. How tall is Grant?
Grant's 6'8".
That's remarkable.
Taller, he's taller than me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he might still be growing, right? Is he in high school?
I think
or is
he's
he done?
Done. I think he's done, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's 6'8" basketball player.
Yeah, and Brookfield's team is legit.
Yeah.
They played Madison East last night and won by 50 points.
Whoa!
50 points. That's slaughter rule. That's where they start running the clock.
Yeah.
The running clock in varsity high school basketball.
That's
it was the whole team.
Wow.
It may not... I'm willing to argue that it's the... Maybe not the best team in Wisconsin. We'll see how the season goes. But it has to be the deepest. That team has 13, 14 kids on there that would start at 85, 90% of high schools in Wisconsin.
No kidding.
The whole team is just deep and talented. And the biggest thing about it is, and this especially as a father, because let's just like, why do you do sports? Okay. One of the reasons you do sports is to just learn how to be part of a team.
Yep.
And that team has chemistry. They jive. They like each other. Yep. And that's what it's all about, right? Is yep. those life lessons of how you connect with people and you go out there and get that W, or when you get the L, you rally it around, you work hard. So really proud of that program, the team. And it's just, I'm a big fan of sports and the arts, obviously.
Yeah.
But that, it brings a humanity into what we do in our community. It's fun to watch.
That Greater Metro Conference is tough too, and you guys are the it cream is. Of the crop this year.
It's going to be, fun. I almost wish that they were a little bit more, expectations were lower.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the innovation economy. I know this is something that you feel strongly about and you're pretty attuned to. How is Milwaukee's innovation economy faring?
Kicking butt, taking numbers.
Yeah, like
relatively
that.
Relatively speaking. So we're definitely better than we've been in the past. Milwaukee, if you look like the 20-year horizon, has kind of been, we're not having like, you know, huge, what they call unicorns, the billion-dollar companies. But in 2024, which is the last year we have data for, it was $157 million, which was twice that of 2023. And when you look at our comparative regions around the nation, that's fourth. So, you know, we love our Northwestern Mutuals, our Rockwells, our Harley-Davidsons. Those are all huge employers. They drive our economy. But what we have to do is make sure we have fertile ground for these other companies that can grow and be the next big thing, right? We just saw 2 weeks ago Exact Science that just started up like, you know, 15, 20 years ago in the Madison area, sell out for $21 billion.
Wow.
And it's just great. I mean, that creates wealth, it creates opportunities and careers. And there's a lot of those stories historically here in Wisconsin. And so it's good to see that more of those seeds are being planted, more of those seeds are coming to different ideas.
For sure.
Construction's right around the corner for data centers like Port Washington, like about 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, they're the engineers are already out there, and you see trucks around, and yeah, it's ready to rock, and that's great because it provides living wages, working wages for people. Some of these folks that are going out, these electricians, the carpenters, like folks that work with their hands for a living, they're seeing 25-30% pay increases. These are folks that, you know, 5-6 years ago, a lot of these tradesmen had to go to other states to get the work, and now those jobs are right here. And there's so much work. The backlog on this data center here work in Milwaukee is so long. They could stay right here. They could go to their kids' games. They could go to their kids' plays and hang out with the right here and have jobs that are paying close to six figures or above that and build really, really cool computers that are going to do great things across our economy.
Looking at this one bullet point, oh my goodness, this 43-year-old makes $200,000 a year overseeing concrete construction for the data centers.
There's money there.
That's real great family supporting jobs for sure. Speaking of jobs, there's new research out that shows that working from home may not be as great for young employees as some of them think. What does the paper show?
Well, it's not good for them. And the irony here is they want to do it. I want to work from home.
Sure.
But the reality is not good for them. And if you know young people, not to sound like, you know, gray hairs in the room here, but if you know young people, sometimes they want to do things that's not good for them.
Yep.
So this would be in the category of if you're in your 20s, it is much better for your career, and data is showing this, to get out in the workplace, get around the water cooler, meet people, have conversations about other things besides work. And it's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. It's good for your career. Meet people. Be there.
We just had a meeting about this, about, you know,
I hope it wasn't virtual.
Being a good teammate. Yeah, exactly. No, just being a good teammate, setting your goals for next year and getting to know everybody. How are you going to do that? How are you going to know, you know, the tools that you can access without seeing other people?
It has to happen. It's just so important. I mean, I've been in remote environments. I've been in non-remote environments. I'm just telling you, it's not only the data out there. It's just, I will tell you personally, is that you can't replicate physical presence. A great data on this is you look at reading scores of kids during COVID when they try to do reading remotely. Yeah. It just didn't work. And we're still trying to catch up from the harm done from closing schools during COVID. Because once again, I'll end with this, you can't replicate physical presence, whether it be a relationship with someone you want to have marry someday, or whether teaching someone reading or in the workforce, your career, be present.
hey, if you're going to the rep tonight, look for the really tall guy dressed like an English gentleman.
A proper English gentleman. I don't have to say anything, so I don't have to work on an English accent.
The Christmas Carol at the rep tonight is with Dale. I can't wait to hear how this goes. This is so much fun, Dale.
I joke because I just got glasses. I don't know if you guys
know. Oh, welcome.
Just got glasses.
Welcome to the club. Yeah. Yeah.
And generally the feedback is, oh, the glasses look good. And my little joke is, you know, glasses today, tomorrow, the British accent. And I'm really going to sound smart. So I'll start tonight. Got glasses last a couple weeks ago. Today's the English outfit. And then maybe next time I'm on the show, I'll try a little English accent.
You could be like John and have the spectacles right at the edge of his nose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like that accent. Like, I don't know what he's saying, but he sounds brilliant with that accent.
It's the accent, yeah. For sure. Dale, have fun tonight. Thanks
Will
for having
me. You have fun too.
Oh, we're going to. Trivia. It's going to be great. I wish these weren't the same night because I know you'd come out and support us.
I would.
And I would love to go see you at the rep.
And I would love to go see you at Luff's Lucky Town.
Yeah. I guess it's just...
Well, we have years ahead of us.
Sounds good, Dale. Good luck tonight. It is 4:56 at WTMJ.